The fourth commandment of the law of God reads, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." There God, in His commandment, focuses upon our time and how we are to use our time. There God declares that Jesus Christ is the Lord of our time, the time of His children, how they spend it. In that commandment, God says that it is His will as our Redeemer and Savior that 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. We are to work hard to the glory of God for 6 days. And one day out of seven, which is now the Sabbath of the first day, the resurrection day of Jesus Christ, in that day thou shalt do no manner of work. On that day, we are called by our Redeemer and Savior to worship. Worship twice in the church of God and to devote the whole day to our spiritual life. The fourth commandment says, "I am the Lord of your time." Your time is redeemed by me too. The psalmist confesses in Psalm 31, "My times are in thy hand." Joyfully, he confesses. Time is the instrument of God to mold us for endless time. As the children of God, we confess a glorious confession, "I am not my own, but belong unto my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, both in body and soul." Belonging to Jesus Christ as a Christian, both body and soul, means that also our time, how we spend our time in body and soul, belongs to our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. It is not my time. It is not I decide what I do on Sunday. But it is Christ who is the Lord of my time. He's the Lord of everything I do. Joyfully, 6 days, labor for His glory, and on the seventh, on the Sabbath, how I spend my time is determined by my relationship to Him. Do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that He is Lord of your time? How do you spend your Sunday? Does your church attendance show that you belong to Jesus Christ? And that you use your time to glorify and obey Him, or do you spend Sunday as your time? Jesus said in Mark chapter 2, "The Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath." Is He Lord of your Sabbath? Is your attendance at the church off and on? Is it once? Are you gone for long periods of time? Do your pleasures and funds and luxuries interfere with the hour of worship? Is our will, pleasure, feelings, Lord of the Sabbath? Or is Jesus Christ Lord of our Sabbath, to the glory of God and to the witness of to the world around us? Gratitude runs deeply within our veins as the redeemed of the Lord. We love the Lord Jesus. We belong to Him by covenant of His grace. And that gratitude runs deeply and the love pumps hard for Him on nice summer Sundays. We diligently frequent the house of God to hear His word. The fourth commandment is God's command to every one of us. Keep the Sabbath day holy. Don't treat it as any other day. It's a commandment to all the children of God. Rest in me. We have a catechism called the Heidelberg Catechism, a faithful exposition of the Word of God and a faithful exposition of the Fourth Commandment. In the 38th Lord's Day of this catechism, the question is asked, what does God require on the Sabbath day? It doesn't ask, what does God suggest or what does God recommend, but what does God require? And the answer is that all my life, I cease from evil works and yield myself to God, and especially on the Sabbath day, the day of rest, I diligently frequent the church of God to hear His word, to call upon His name, to contribute to the relief of the poor as becomes a Christian. We do not say to the Lord, "Sunday's no big deal, I do as I please." But in our hearts, when we hear the fourth commandment, we say, "My times are in Thy hand. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth." Psalm 31. The point to be remembered by us today is that the fourth commandment, as it is one of the ten commandments of the law of God, remains as the will of God our Savior for New Testament Christians. It remains the will of God for you and for me as much as any other of the ten commandments. Now certainly we would not say as a Christian redeemed in the blood of Christ that an occasional violation of the ninth commandment is permissible. The ninth commandment says, thou shalt bear no false witness. We would not say, well, occasionally, you know, a lie is okay. Nor would we say that of the seventh commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery. As a redeemed Christian, we would not say, well, there are times that it's understandable that the child of God is going to fall into fornication. After all, it is so prevalent. So occasionally, if a child of God gives up their chastity or their vows of marriage, this is understandable. We would not say that. We would say the ninth and the seventh commandment are the abiding will of the Redeemer Jesus for the life of everyone who He has redeemed in His precious blood. Tell the truth. Live a pure sexual life. Well, so also the fourth commandment, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, is the remaining and abiding will of our Redeemer Savior Jesus. The requirement of the fourth commandment that on the day of rest, Sunday, I diligently frequent the church of God, and diligently frequent the church of God means twice. If you come once, that's not frequent, that's infrequent. We come twice to hear His word and to pray and to publicly call upon the name of the Lord and to use the sacraments and to contribute to the relief of the poor. All of this is behavior as becomes a Christian. This is behavior that does not become, as some would say, a Puritan, or becomes an Old Testament saint, and we know better now, or a legalist, or a formalist, someone who's just concerned with the form but doesn't have the heart of Christianity. No. To keep the Sabbath day holy, to diligently come to church twice, is behavior as becomes a Christian, one who is redeemed in the blood of Jesus Christ. As becomes a saint of God. Psalm 42 verse 4, with the multitude I went that kept the holy day. This is consistent. This is in harmony with. This flows out of the Christian life. This is not an imposition upon the Christian life. This is the Christian life. The fourth commandment is an abiding commandment for 21st century Christians. 21st century Christians with cottages, with ski-doos, with recreational vehicles, with vacations. It's an abiding commandment, the will of the Redeemer Jesus. The first reason that it is an abiding commandment is to be found in the commandment itself. For we read that the fourth commandment is rooted in creation. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 10, we read, "For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth and rested on the seventh day." Now, I bypass for now the plain condemnation of theistic evolution that is to be found there in the Word of God. And I bypass what it would mean for you and for me if we were to come to church in faithful obedience to Jesus on Sunday, seeking rest for our souls in the unshaken, unbreaking Word of God, the Word of truth, that after a hard day, hard week, of living the Christian life and struggles and tears, we'd come to the church to hear the Word of God, and the very first thing the minister would do would be to tear the first 3 or 4 pages out of the Bible. What would that do to you and to your rest in Jesus if the Bible in its entirety is not the Word of God? How could you find rest there in that church? But the fourth commandment says that it is rooted in creation. It teaches that the creation was performed of God in 6 24-hour days, and God rested on the seventh. And therefore God says, do as I did. Moses did not give the fourth commandment. The fourth commandment did not begin at Mount Sinai. But Jesus said the Sabbath was made for man. Made for man as man. Man was made with the need of rest in God. God made man, even before sin, to need the time when he could put down his hoe and rest. We need the time that we can get out of the truck, hang up the work belt, and enjoy God and wait upon him without distraction. The second reason the fourth commandment is an abiding commandment is that the fourth commandment is rooted in redemption. It is especially God's commandment for those who he has redeemed from the bondage of sin. This is found in how the fourth commandment is given in Deuteronomy 5, verse 15. The Ten Commandments are given twice, in Exodus chapter 20, and then again in Deuteronomy 5. In Deuteronomy 5, the fourth commandment is stated differently. At least the rationale for keeping it is stated differently. There, in Deuteronomy 5:15, we read that we must remember the Sabbath day for this reason, and remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. There God is speaking to the redeemed of the Lord, who have been redeemed by a mighty display of the power of the Lord. The redeemed of the Lord must show forth their gratitude to the Lord for their redemption. All the days of their life, for sure, all of my life, I must yield myself to the Lord to work in me by the Holy Spirit because I have been redeemed by His blood. But central to that, to doing that for 6 days, is that I will devote one day in seven to Him. The fourth commandment abides and is necessary for the Christian life. The Christian life cannot endure without the observance of a day of rest. The fourth commandment brings, after all, the first table of the law to its close. Jesus said that there were two tables of the law, love the Lord thy God and love thy neighbor as thyself. The first four commandments are in that first table. And at the end of that first table is, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. So look at its place in the Ten Commandments. It shows the way how we are to stay on the path of keeping the first three commandments of the law of God. In the first commandment, we are to have God as our trust. Have no other God before me. Have no idol in your heart. In the second commandment, we are to worship God as He instructs in His Word. We are to have no graven images. In the third commandment, we are to revere His holy name. We are not to take His name in vain. But how shall we do this? How shall we trust? How shall we worship? How shall we revere the Lord God in our lives, day by day? How will we do this? The fourth commandment comes and says, remember the Sabbath day. It is God's institution of maintaining love for Him. Can you maintain love for your wife and children without time with them? But there's more. The breaking of this commandment, the setting aside of the fourth commandment, and the refusal to hallow this day by setting aside our own pleasures and devoting ourselves to the Lord, is to sow in our life apostasy and falling away from the Lord. In Hebrews chapter 10, the verses 25 and 24, or beginning already at verse 23, we have words of wonderful encouragement in the context there. Let us draw near to God. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith. And then that chapter, after the wonderful encouragement, ends with a chilling warning of those who would trod underfoot the Son of God and who would count the blood of the covenant whereby they are sanctified an unholy thing. And right in between the encouragement and the warning, you find this: not forsaking the assembling of yourself together as the manner of some is, Do not neglect the worship services, for this is the first step on the road to apostasy. In your own personal life and in the life of your congregation, the fourth commandment is utterly crucial, because on this day the child of God finds the one thing that his soul needs. If we are to continue faithfully as those who are trotting towards Zion, Psalm 84, as those whose hope is in Christ set above in all the glory and promises of heavenly life, if we are to continue on that pathway, we require something. Rest. Rest for my soul. The Sabbath means rest. The Sabbath then has a very appealing ring to it, the word rest. What does the word rest mean to you as a mother who's taken for granted, who's harried and busy from dawn till sunset? Rest. That's an appealing word. The Sabbath is the rest of God. The Sabbath of the Lord thy God, the rest of the Lord thy God, of course, does not mean that God is idle, that God would cease from his work. But when we search the Scriptures, we discover that God's rest is his enjoyment in himself. And it's his enjoyment in his work so glorious that he is the all-sufficient and wonderful God. Especially the Sabbath rest is his enjoyment of his perfect work in Jesus Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him high above all things. It is rest. It is grand. Apart from God, man cannot rest. He has no rest. Isaiah 57, verse 21, the wicked are as the troubled sea which cannot rest. But there is a rest for the people of God. That rest is in the completed work of Jesus Christ, perfected in heaven and tasted on Sunday. Diligently frequent the church of God on the Lord's Day to hear His word. Attend the church where the word is preached and honored twice on the Lord's Day. Not forsaking, Hebrews 10, verse 25, the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. There the Scriptures are speaking of an assembly of worship, not simply a social gathering, a time when the people of God are actually called by God. God calls us. Psalm 50, verse 5, gather my saints together, you who have made covenant with me by sacrifice. Let us go up to the Lord's house. We are called to enter into his house. Do not forsake this call. We say, well, it's easy to become accustomed not to go to church. That happens slowly and gradually. In Hebrews chapter 10, the Hebrew Christians were beginning to forsake the assembling on the Lord's Day. It was in part to persecution. If you read the chapter in verses 32 and 33, you read that they were enduring a great fight of affliction and that they were being made the gazing stock of the world by reproaches. Sometimes that can come to us. If you diligently come to your church twice on the Lord's Day because you thirst after the Word of God and you bring your family, then perhaps you're going to hear words like this. Why? Do you think you're better than somebody else? Why do you need to go twice? Why can't we have the family party on Sunday? It's always you who are making a problem with the family. If you miss once, it's not going to hurt. You must think that you're better. They will sneer at you. Have you endured that reproach, or have you succumbed to that reproach? Have you become accustomed to going once? Maybe your parents can't get you out of bed. Maybe you prefer to watch TV, or you're doing your own pleasure on the Lord's Day. We must answer to the Lord. In Luke chapter 4, verse 16, we read of Jesus, and he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went up into the services of the synagogue. He went to the synagogue. That was his custom on the Lord's Day. His custom was that he would go to church diligently, faithfully. We must delight ourselves in this day. We must come to church with a sincere, heartfelt love for the risen Savior and anticipation of all that He has for us and all that He has laid up for us through His death and resurrection. We must use the Sabbath day to stock the cabinets of our heart with spiritual food so that we can make it for the next 6 days. And then after those 6 days, we return bruised and weary from the fight against sin, that we might again rest for a while in our Savior. We are fortified on the Sabbath to fight the good fight of faith, that we may yield ourselves for 6 days unto the Lord. Keeping the Sabbath means that you are active in your faith, that you are living carefully for 6 days, not worldly for 6 days, and then thinking you can have a blessed Sabbath, that you make up for it by going to church. But keeping the Sabbath means that you live out of Jesus Christ consciously all the days of your life. And then on the first day of the week, you meet with your risen Savior and you learn what the Lord has done for you. The idea of staying home will become abhorrent to you. You will not look for your own pleasures upon this day. You will not say, oh, it's too far to go. But it will be your custom to gather with the people of God. Hear the word of the Lord. Don't say, this is too hard. Don't say, oh, that preacher is way too strict. But if need be, let us repent. Let us not say that we can honor the Lord without honoring His day. And let us keep the holy day spiritually, joyfully, actively. Out of faith, keep Sunday. And let Sunday, as you hear the word in the church, let that word whet your appetite and comfort your soul for the glory that is ours, that soon will be ours in heaven. Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee for the word. We pray that it may go forth and accomplish Thy purpose. In Jesus' name, amen.